Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 22. Idam Nikun Sam, Kapasa Sutras, Sutrasya Va.
Similarly, science and philosophy also should be applied in the service of the Lord. There is no use presenting dry speculative theories for sense ramifications. Philosophy and science should be engaged to establish the glory of the Lord. Advanced people are eager to understand the absolute truth through the medium of science, and therefore a great scientist should endeavor to prove the existence of the Lord on a scientific basis. Similarly, philosophical speculation should be utilized to establish the supreme truth as sentient and all-powerful. Similarly, all other branches of knowledge should always be engaged in the service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, also the same is affirmed. All knowledge not engaged in the service of the Lord is but essence. Real utilization of advanced knowledge is to establish the glories of the Lord, and that is the real import. Scientific knowledge engaged in the service of the Lord and all similar activities are all factually Hari Kirtan, or glorification of the Lord.
Therefore, he reciprocates in a certain way.
The spiritual master knows what to do and what to say to a disciple to increase their devotion or to shake them up when they're a bit lackadaisical like in devotional service. So in the fourth canto and the pastime of the Dakshinakya, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the spiritual master is an expert psychologist, that he knows how to engage properly with his disciples. He knows what to do and what not to do so that they may advance and grow in devotional service. So we can use psychology based on Krishna consciousness when dealing with Krishna's parts and parcels. And when we do that as the purposes, it is on the absolute platform because it is directly linked to Krishna. We are not making it a separate endeavor from Krishna. So this is just one example. So the main purport of this, the main point, what should I say, of this text is that everything should be used for, or should be utilized for Krishna consciousness or Krishna service, because ultimately everything is coming from Krishna. Matter and spirit are all not different from the Supreme Brahman, Lord Krishna himself. And in the seventh chapter, Krishna is explaining through his energies how he pervades everything. The material energy, of course, is Krishna's energy, but it is separated from him, whereas Krishna's spiritual energy is also his energy, but it is not separated from him. So this material energy, when we get into contact with it, and when we separate Krishna from it, it gives us ignorance or avidya. But if we connect ourselves directly to Krishna, who is never actually exposed to anything material, then we get vidya, we get knowledge. And gradually, by the process of purification, we get our proper knowledge of who we are in relation to Krishna. So the purification of Krishna by great devotees has also been explained in the third canto by Srila Prabhupada explained it in the chapter that explains manifestation of Brahma from Gaudiya Vaishnava Vishnu, where Prabhupada is explaining how the great sages headed by Sanat Kumar travel along the Ganges, celestial Ganges River, down to the region where Lord Ananta says resides to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And then these great sages, they use choice poetry to glorify the Lord, who is known as Uttama Shloka. So to properly glorify Krishna, to properly actually do anything for Krishna's pleasure, one has to be in a good frame of mind. One has to be Krishna conscious to actually properly glorify Krishna. That is why in the beginning, we are advised to use the same verses as the great devotees in humility to glorify Krishna. And we use the verses from the six Goswamis or from Bhakti Mataku, who sings certain bhajans by Srinarayan Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because they are such pure souls, they are glorifying the Lord who is known as Uttama Shloka. So they have fine speech. So they're using that quality, which to some people may just look like a material quality. If you're a poet, what does that have to do with Krishna consciousness? Well, you can use those words to actually glorify Krishna. If you're an artist, we see that Srila Prabhupada was engaging his disciples in cooking, in painting pictures for the BB team, especially during the Chaitanya Charitamrita Marathon, where devotees were working around the clock using their art and skills to actually please the Lord and please Srila Prabhupada. So whatever skill you actually have in whatever field, because Krishna has created everything, everything is coming from Krishna. We cannot separate anything from Krishna. Because everything has come from Krishna, everything should be used for the pleasure of Krishna. All sacrifices or austerities that we're performing should be directed towards Krishna. Because Krishna is repeating that he is the only enjoyer. Krishna is the one person to whom all our sacrifices, all our austerities should be performed for. So out of all, everything that we do, it should be for the pleasure of Krishna. And we see if we're not acting for the pleasure of Krishna. We may perform huge sacrifices and vows of austerity, but if it's not for the pleasure of Krishna, then these things, we can see that they're only temporary. The examples of great demons in the Srimad Bhagavatam who perform austere vows to try and become immortal or to try and become supremely powerful, separate from Krishna, it always ended up in their demise. So the greatest demon, Sri Hiranyakashipu, understood that to actually make any progress in life, you have to perform austerity. Even the materialist like Hiranyakashipu could understand that you have to perform austerity. Nothing comes cheap in devotional service. We have to perform austerity. Otherwise, why would we endeavor if everything is smooth sailing? Like His Grace Vijayapur was mentioning yesterday, if you, for any service, if you're doing book distribution or you're cooking, etc., there has to be some form of austerity. Otherwise, there'll be no incentive for us to keep going, or there'll be no incentive for us to keep increasing our service, but most importantly, there'll be no incentive for us to take shelter of Krishna and understand that we're actually insignificant. We're not the doers. We have to depend on Krishna all the time. So once we understand how Krishna's energy works, like Krishna is explaining in Gita, Bhumi Atmana Vayu, that all these different elements that he has, even the material elements, they are coming from him. So we're never actually the independent doers in any point in history. We take our first breath, it is because of Krishna. And we have to understand that. And when we have a consciousness like that, from simple things, understand that actually the material energy, that is Krishna's potency. In this material, because we chose to use this material, Krishna is reciprocating nonetheless. So even our breathing, even our sunshine, even our maintenance, it is all done by the wonderful energy of the Lord. It is all done by Krishna's amazing vision, mind, potency. If we understand that, if we have that mentality, then our consciousness will always remember Krishna. And we'll never separate Krishna from anything. As soon as we separate Krishna from anything that we do, even in material thinking, it is just matter. It has nothing to do with Krishna. But actually has everything to do with Krishna. And how wonderful is that, that Krishna pervades the entire existence, but he always remains aloof. He never directly touches the material energy. He invests certain potencies to do that for him because he is the supreme powerful Lord. So those who are actually using any kind of knowledge or performing any kind of austerity, if it's not directed or gauged towards Krishna, then it is a useless endeavor because it will not fructify any advancement for the spirit soul who is in forgetfulness of Krishna. So whatever knowledge we have, whatever skill, whatever quality we have, we understand that it is already there in Krishna, it is already existing. We may be a big scientist, a chemist or physicist, and we may think, I came up with this theory. I found it in 1821, October 15th, I came up with this theory of gravity or whatever. But the very fact that you just found it then means it has been existing for a very long time, so this creation has been existing for a very long time, means someone already figured it out for you, but you just spotted it now. So ultimately, you did not find out anything. It's already been existing. So Krishna has provided all these things. Krishna has complete control over everything in existence. So everything actually culminates in Krishna. Life and spirit culminates in Krishna. We cannot separate the two. Material existence has has life, or material in the sense has value because Krishna has contacted its entirety. So you understand in the creation, the Purushas are there, they are created from Bhagavad-Gita Vishnu, who is stemming from the original Vishnu Krishna himself. They are creating all the different ingredients. Lord Brahma is the secondary creator. They are engaged in service by Sri Krishna himself. But unless the Lord expands, unless he glances over his potency, over the material energy, it will never be activated. Just as Krishna is referred to as the mother and the father simultaneously. Like this mature Krishna, you know that mother and father are different. You know, it meant half of your body is of a woman, half of your body is of a man. Krishna is not like that. Krishna has potency. He's the mother and the father. So Krishna creates a universal, Bhagavad Gita explains it, you know, the universal egg, the ovum. Krishna creates that. And Krishna is like that. And as the supreme male, Krishna is the only Purusha. He impregnates material nature. He impregnates his own energy. So Krishna is the mother, Krishna is the father. And the mother and the father provide everything for our existence, for our nourishment. Even when we're being volatile towards our mother and father, they still provide. So this is how the Krishna works in creation. This is why immature creation has value, because Krishna invests his potency. His inferior and external energy is in the material creation. So that knowledge, of those who are not interested in knowing the original core of all emanation, can never be considered as perfect knowledge. So we might be highly knowledgeable in any field, whether it's arts, whether it's philosophy, etc. But if there's no Krishna in that field, if we do not see Krishna, if we do not give credit to Krishna, then it is imperfect. If we're living in the material world and we fail to see Krishna, all our attempts are imperfect. Srila Prabhupada is explaining this, that if we want to be perfect living entities, if we want to be perfect beings, then we have to connect to the most perfect person. Even while we're here in the material world, we should find Krishna. We find Krishna through this holy name. We find Krishna through the literary incarnation, the text of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. But everything, our knowledge or anything that we do will be incomplete if we do not engage in Krishna's service, and it will be imperfect. It is not perfect knowledge. So just as we understand that the aroma of the earth and different scents can be manufactured and used for different purposes, we understand that, you know, from earth we can manufacture different things. We can make pots, we can make fish, we can make cups, we can make so many different things. But at the end of the day, that energy originally has its creation from Krishna. We understand earth as an element is one of the energies of Krishna, one of the material energies of Krishna. So it is coming from Krishna. Originally, the cause or primary ingredient is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So if we simply understand the origin of everything Krishna, then we don't have to simply endeavor to try and understand everything else in creation. So we won't simply try to use science just to understand how the atom is working, or understand how the aromas come about, etc., etc. But if we understand Krishna, which means the person and his energy, we can understand he has his material energy, he has his spiritual potency, and everything is resting on this person. Everything is resting on his spiritual energy. Life comes from life. Life does not come from matter. So Krishna provides everything. We understand he's the cause, he's the effect. even in the material creation, in the material world. So we don't separate anything from Him, and in that way we can understand everything in full knowledge. We don't have to separately try and make an endeavor. So actually, once you understand Krishna, you understand everything. Because the devotee has fully grasped Krishna's shaktis, Krishna's energy. This is why it's important to actually read Srimad Bhagavad Gita cover to cover and Bhagavatam cover to cover, so that we can understand thoroughly how Krishna works through his energies, how Krishna influences us, how Krishna influences the prime creation. And this is what the sages do. Before the sages, they do not immediately dive into the wonderful or the intimate pastime of Krishna. In the third canto, where Vidura is conversing with Vaishpaya, of course he is qualified to immediately hear about the topics of Krishna, because both of them were feeling separation Krishna had left. But he started asking questions about how Krishna is in the material world, how Krishna pervades everything for the general masses of people who need to solidify this fact, so that their faith develops into understanding Krishna is the prime cause of everything. So we have to understand these energies of Krishna before we try and make further advancement. Because if we don't, we find something that may appear contradictory. How is Krishna in the material creation, in the mode of passion, and have not be affected by the mode of passion or ignorance? How is he creating the Vanashram system? How is Krishna doing this and that? How is Krishna performing his pastimes on this planet? How does Krishna get shot and start bleeding? You know, all these different things we might start to doubt. But if you understand how Krishna operates through his energy, you understand Krishna as Sachidananda. Even when he descends to this material world, he comes with his original spiritual form. These things you have to understand. Otherwise, we cannot understand any further topics about Krishna. So first we understand 1 plus 1, and then we can go to the calculus. We cannot understand calculus without understanding the basic mathematics. Everything won't solidify. So in Krishna consciousness, we start from the building blocks. We start by understanding what is mental, what is spirit, how Krishna has his power and our power of Prakriti. Krishna has his material creation, and the spiritual world, and how does that work? So this is very important. So from the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse is explaining that one should try to concentrate one's understanding on the Supreme Truth. That should be our understanding, the Supreme Truth, Krishna. We should try and put all our effort into understanding that person completely. So in the 9th chapter, when Krishna is understanding how he pervades the material and spiritual creation, both that is phenomenal and newness. So everything, as I mentioned, the material creation is dependent on Krishna. I think it is in the beginning chapters where it's explaining how the material creation depends on the potency of the internal pleasure potency of the Lord. So Maya actually depends on Krishna for potency to bewilder the other living entities. All these elements depend on Krishna to actually have an effect. Because Krishna is the driving force, Krishna is the potency behind everything. So you understand, the last verse of this translation speaks about glorifying the Lord in choice poetry. So different great devotees of the Lord, like Maharaj Kirtu, Prahlad Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, the four Maharaj, they always try to purify themselves before they start glorifying the Lord. So they take shelter of holy places, they take shelter of great devotees and Shastra, and then they compose great prayers to glorify Krishna, who is eternal Shloka. And Lord Brahma is a prime example, of course. He performed austerity, and only after that he composed the Brahma Samhita to glorify Krishna. So everything we do, actually, there's always an element of purification that we have to go through. There's always an element of austerity we have to perform to try and understand the Supreme Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions in the Chitra Ketu, in offering praise to the Lord, it is mentioned that actually all the letters of the alphabet are there simply just to glorify Krishna. All the letters of the alphabet, they're meant to glorify Krishna, not from left and strong. So even down to the alphabet, even down to the numbers, we're meant to, you know, calculate how many material ingredients are there, okay, how can we calculate, you know, time from the atom, how can we calculate the different kalpas, the yugas, etc. All of this has been created, all these signs are created so that we can steadily understand Krishna's energies. We can steadily understand Krishna. Because everything is all about Krishna. Actually, again, sorry to say, but actually, my entire existence actually is about Krishna. So that is the only way that the jiva can become happy, is if our center is Krishna. We can see in mature existence, we're trying to have our center as something else, and it's never working. You can read different types of history, and it's all been a failure. Different types of, it's all been a failure because it is not meant to grow by Krishna. All theories are put forward, it might be like this, it might be like that. Never satisfying. Never in their conclusion, because it is not aimed at Krishna. If you aim at Krishna, it will have a conclusion. It will be no speculation. It will be completely satisfying for the soul. Anything else other than that is completely dissatisfaction for the soul. But if we use our experience and our brains for Krishna, then we will become purified and satisfied in service of the Lord. That is dharma. Our real dharma is to serve and glorify Krishna at the end of the day. So Prabhupada would even explain that, you know, all these scientists, all these big, big men, they're working so hard, you know, creating big, big buildings, etc., etc., but they're not glorifying Krishna. So it is a waste of time. Prabhupada would say, if you're a scientist, if you're an artist, do that for Krishna. Because that art belongs to Krishna anyway. So I'll stop there and ask if any comments or questions. Okay, that sounds good. I'm glad that you came late. So we might just make you aware that from tomorrow onwards, each time we greet the deities, we'll be in separation because Mother Yamuna has left her body. Is any matter? She left her body 6-9 hours ago in my employer. So we can safely say that she's by the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada will say everything, how to cook, how to put on a sari, how to sing. So we can offer her respectful obeisances when a Vaishnava departs. We offer them obeisances because especially of that candle, they have gone back to the loving embrace of Prabhupada. So we can meditate on that today. A wonderful departure of such a great soul. And it is an auspicious thing. It's in Kavishi. And such a great soul has left, gone back home, back to Godhead. So that can be our inspiration to continue serving like her, Srila Prabhupada. She's one of the four devotees who were with Prabhupada in the beginning days. So she's very dedicated to Srila Prabhupada.
Okay, verse 21.